All right, 1 Samuel chapter 24. All right, 1 Samuel 24. We're going to start with just the first few verses, but we will cover the 24th chapter. Look, beginning in verse 1. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have your word given to us, and what a precious gift the Bible is. People in many parts of the world don't have this Bible. Many people in the world don't have the opportunity that we have to come and hear your precious word and to sing your praises. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to preach your word. I pray for the enablement of the Holy Spirit. I pray that your Spirit will work in the hearts of each one that hears this message this morning. Help it to make a difference in our lives. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, my message is entitled, "Responding Properly to Your Enemies." Now, as I look at this congregation, is this message even relevant? I mean, does anyone really have any enemies in this group of people? Well, you know, the fact is, all of us are going to have enemies in life. And the Bible teaches that as Christians, we may have enemies because we are persecuted for our faith. It's not so much true in America, but certainly in other parts of the world, it is definitely true. And as we live in an increasingly secular and godless society, I believe it's going to be more true for us even in America. Jesus warned of this in Matthew 24:9 when he said that you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The Apostle John said in 1 John 3:13, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hate you." The Apostle Paul warned in 2 Timothy that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so, indeed, we may face enemies because we're Christians and we're open about our faith. And even as I speak, our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq and other Muslim countries are suffering terribly because of their Christian faith. They have enemies. And of course, in life, we are going to have some lesser enemies. There will be those who hurt us. There will be those who slander us, who say things that hurt deeply. And it's like they're an enemy to us. And sometimes we don't even know for sure why. But indeed, we are going to face enemies in life. And the question is this: as we face enemies, are we going to fight back? Are we going to pay evil for evil? Are we going to make them regret the day that they became our enemy? Well, in our text of Scripture today, David once again is facing his enemy, King Saul. Saul became very jealous of David, felt threatened by the rise in his popularity, and he sought to kill him on several occasions or have him killed. Folks, I would call that an enemy, somebody that tries to kill you. That's an enemy. And in this text of Scripture, it follows chapter 23 where Saul had come after David once again with a large army, and they just about had him captured, but God delivered him by providentially sending the Philistines against Israel. They had to leave David and go fight the Philistines. But when we come to chapter 24, once again, David is being hunted down by King Saul and 3,000 men. He was told that David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. I've been there. 17 years ago, we traveled to the Dead Sea, and on the western side of the Dead Sea, there's the Judean Desert, and there are cliffs that descend from the desert plateau toward the Dead Sea, and dotting those cliffs would be the various caves. And En-Gedi is where a spring, an oasis was, where goats would come and drink water. And David was hiding in one of those caves in the region of En-Gedi. And it so happened that David had the opportunity to have his enemy all alone in the cave with him and 600 of his men. He had the opportunity to kill his enemy. But we're going to see that he passed up that opportunity. We're going to see how David related to his enemy, and I believe it is a fine example of how we are to relate to our enemies today. I want to share several principles and lessons from chapter 24, and the first is this, that as you face your enemies, remember this, their evil does not excuse your evil back to them. The Bible teaches that we are to pay no man evil for evil. And yet here's Saul. There in the cave, he has an opportunity to get even. Now let's look and see how this opportunity came to pass. In verse 3, it says, Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. I'm sorry, that's verse 2. Verse 3 says, so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, one of many. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. If you have a King James Version, it gives a literal translation where it says he went in to cover his feet. And that was a euphemistic way of saying that he went in to have a bowel movement. That's literally what it is. And the same euphemistic scripture is found in Judges where, likewise, that's what was happening. Of course, Israelite law dictated that when it was time, when nature was calling and you were in the camp, you were to go outside the camp for sanitation reasons. You were to take a little shovel or a trowel and you were to dig a little hole and cover it up. And Saul wanted a little privacy. And so as he was tending to business, he went into this cave. And what a vulnerable position was he in. I mean, you know, you're not only tending to your business, but you're in the darkness, and David and his men are hiding in the darkness. He doesn't have anybody with him. He was absolutely vulnerable. It would have been so easy for David to take revenge on his enemy and to take him out. In fact, he was encouraged to do so. Look at verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. He said, man, David, this is it. Man, don't you see the hand of God all over this? And they quote a prophecy, which I don't think was given verbatim, but actually I think what it was, they knew the prophecies that someday David would be king, and they just kind of paraphrased the prophecy and saying, listen, God has delivered him to your hand, you can take him out and you can be king right now. And so with that encouragement, the Bible says that David arose. He arose and secretly sneaked up on King Saul. What would he do? What would you do if you had been hunted down for years where your life was being threatened? He had the opportunity to sneak up behind him and slit his throat, take him out very quickly, or to drive his dagger into his back. But what did he do? It says in the last of verse 4 that he secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. That was it. Just cut off a little bit of that robe, which was down on the ground at the time he was tending to his business, and walked back secretly to his men. Saul never even knew anything had happened. He left the cave totally oblivious that his life could have been taken. Now, of course, the point that I want to draw out first is that David lived by the principle that the Scripture makes very clear, especially in the New Testament. For example, Romans 12:17 says, "Repay no one evil for evil." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See to it that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good." The Apostle Peter said something similar. And so the Scripture makes it very clear that when we have enemies, that does not mean that the same evil they have done to us, we can do to them and maybe add something to it. We are not to take vengeance into our own hands. We are not to pay evil for evil. And so that's really the foundation of all that we're going to talk about today. That just because your enemy does wrong to you doesn't mean you have the right to do wrong unto them. But another truth that really stands out from chapter 24 is this, and it occurs on several occasions, where David is very conscientious about his dealings with Saul. He is controlled. What he says and what he does is controlled by his conscience, enlightened by the Word of God. And the same thing ought to be true of us. You know, when we have an enemy, sometimes they make us upset. Sometimes they make us angry. Sometimes we have a very emotional response to our enemies. And if we're not careful, we will be driven by emotion rather than by principle, by the higher principles of the Word of God. But David, though he may have felt like killing Saul, was not living by emotion. He was living by the principles of his conscience and the Word of God, as we see very clearly in this text of Scripture. Again, just the very incident that I just referred to. Why didn't David slay his enemy? Well, look at verse 6. As he was trying to explain to his men, who were rather disappointed, I'm sure, in David, that he didn't take him out. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." You see how he refers to the Lord three times in that one verse. Here's a man who lives his life not as he thinks, as he wills, and any other lower principle, but he lives his life constantly in reference to God and what God would want and what God's will is for his life. And that's how we are to live our lives as well. Why, he knew that Scripture said that you are not even to curse the king, much less kill him when he's in a vulnerable and defenseless position. You know, it's one thing to kill someone on the battlefield when you both have weapons and you're facing each other. It's one thing to kill someone in self-defense. But he knew that he would be killing the anointed king of God in a very vulnerable and defenseless position. And he could not do it. He knew it wasn't right. He knew that God would be displeased with his actions. And so he restrained himself from it. And then look at verse 5, talking about his conscience, how he was guided by conscience. Verse 5, now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Isn't that a good description of a bad conscience, a guilty conscience, that your heart troubles you? You did something, you said something, and afterwards you feel really bad about it? Well, that's the way it was with David. I mean, even so much as cutting the king's robe, he realized, you know, I shouldn't have even done that. I mean, the robe is part of his royalty, and to desecrate his robe, to ruin his robe, is something that I really should not have done. And he was once again guided by conscience. And I want to show you, as David dealt with his enemies, several principles that I think conscience and Scripture would guide us to follow in dealing with our enemies. And the first is this, that we should show respect to our enemies. Show respect to our enemies. Once Saul had left and was at a safe distance away, David came out of that cave alone. And he called out to Saul. And both in his body language and his words, he showed respect unto the king. Notice it says in verse 8, that David arose afterwards, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord.' He is the Lord's anointed." Both again, with his body language and bowing his to the earth, with his face to the ground, and in addressing him as Lord and as King and the anointed of the Lord, he showed due respect unto the king. And you know, as Christians are facing persecution, a lot of times that persecution comes from government officials, people in government, people in high office. And I believe that even though they become enemies to us, that we are to still treat them with respect. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor the king." Now, who was the king at that day? Probably Nero or one of those Roman emperors. And I tell you what, Nero had persecuted Christians, and he was a very ungodly man. But still, Scripture says you are to honor the king. And you know, there are a lot of times when we may not be able to respect the man or the woman in the office, but we are to always respect the office that they hold. And that's true of a president, that's true of anyone in authority. We need to respect them. And Scripture tells us that even if our enemy is in high office, we are to respect them. And then secondly, we see another principle, and that is found in verse 11 and following, and that is we are to look for opportunities to present our true intentions. That we mean our enemies no harm whatsoever. And again, verse 11, he says, "Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it." Can you imagine how it must have felt for Saul as David is calling out to him and he holds up that piece of his robe? And for Saul to look down and see, oh my. Oh my, in that cave, David was so close, he could cut off part of my robe. He could have killed me in that very situation. But David saw it as an opportunity to demonstrate to Saul that there is no wickedness, there is no rebellion, there is no harm that he intends for him. He would never do anything to dethrone him. And he even says in verse 13, quoting a proverb, the proverb of the ancients says, "Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you." That's a very good proverb. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Character determines conduct. And when the conduct is not wicked, the heart is not wicked. Don't you see that, Saul? Don't you see clear evidence that I mean you no harm? And again, as we deal with our enemies, we want them to know that we're followers of Jesus Christ, who taught us to be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And then, furthermore, we ought to trust the Lord to deal with our enemies. We see this in verse 12, where David says, "Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." David understood the principle that is stated in Romans chapter 12, where vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. It's not up to us to take vengeance into our own hands. It's not up to us to take the law into our own hands. We are to have enough faith to say, God, now I've got this enemy. And God, I'm asking you two things. I'm asking you to deal with my enemy. You know, whether it means to judge them and to take them out, or whether it means to convert them, Lord, I'm trusting you to deal with my enemy. I'm not going to do it myself. And Lord, if you don't change them, then I ask you to protect me from my enemy. I have enough faith in you to trust that you will protect me from my enemy. And indeed, God protected David time and time again from his enemies as he put his trust in him. Now, you know what we're saying? When we take matters in our own hands, when we take vengeance ourselves, you know what we're saying? God, we don't trust you to do it. You know, God, I can't count on you. I've got to do it myself. You know, sometimes we'll give a job to a child or somebody, and boy, they just don't do the job right. You know, and you say to yourself, you know, if you got to do a job, you just got to do it yourself. You know, you just got to do it yourself. And you know, a lot of times that's true in life, but it is an insult to God for you to say to God, God, I can't trust you to handle my enemy. No, we are to turn our enemies over to God. And after we turn our enemies over to God, then, you know, we've got to be willing to forgive our enemies. Forgive our enemies. And I think David had a very forgiving heart toward his enemies. If there was not forgiveness in his heart, he would have killed Saul. But forgiveness enabled him to treat his enemy graciously. Shortly after the Civil War, General Robert E. Lee was visiting a family in Kentucky. And the lady of the home wanted Robert E. Lee to see this big oak tree that had been severely damaged by Union artillery fire right there at his home, at her home. And she was looking to General Lee to express some sympathy for her hurt and maybe some anger toward his former enemies. And instead, General Lee said, "Ma'am, just cut it down. Just cut it down." You know, I wonder if we have some hurts and damaged trees in our lives that the better course of action would be just to cut it down. Just cut it down. You know, stop reminding yourself of the hurt and looking at that old damaged tree and having bitterness in your heart toward your enemies. David was that kind of a man. But one other thing, I think Scripture and David's example guides us in relating to our enemies is to relate to them with meekness and humility. Verse 14, "After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea?" I mean, what a humble way to liken himself to a dead dog. I want to ask you, have you ever been attacked by dogs? I have. You know, Aaron, one of the dangers of being a pastor is having a church member ask you to go into their home and get their medicine. She didn't tell me that there were three dachshunds in that house. And you know, little dogs are some of the meanest dogs that walk the face of the earth. They have a lot of spunk. And especially when there's a pack of them. And so I walk into that house and I didn't take more than a few steps. Boy, you know, a dog can attack, a dog can hurt, but you know what? If I had a gun and I could have shot those dogs, a dead dog wouldn't hurt me. No, sir, a dead dog isn't going to hurt anybody. And so David says, you know, who are you after, a dead dog? You know, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm as harmless as a dog. And you know, to call someone a dog is what you called your enemies. Here he's calling himself a dead dog in humility and meekness. He likens himself to a flea. Man, that's one of the smallest creatures, you know, that jumps about. You know, he dealt with meekness and humility. And I believe that as we deal with enemies, let us do so with meekness and humility the way David did. You know, when people are looking for a fight, they're looking for a fight. And you really disappoint them when you respond with meekness and humility. They're just kind of taken back, you know. And so here we see a number of principles that David followed and that we should follow, guided by Scripture, that as we're guided by conscience, let us follow these principles as we deal with our enemies. And then finally this morning we see that when we do this, when we follow God's Word and follow our conscience and deal with our enemies properly, we're going to see God work in some wonderful ways. First of all, your actions may touch them emotionally like it did with Saul. You know, it says in verse 16, "So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, 'Is that your voice, my son David?' And Saul lifted up his voice and wept." He was so touched by how David showed forgiveness and kindness to him and could have killed him, but didn't. It really touched him emotionally. And if you're going to turn an enemy into a friend, if your love and forgiveness and kindness and goodness to them can touch their emotions, you've oftentimes have taken a real corner in your relationship with them. Soften their heart, and you can turn the enmity away from your enemy. And then secondly, the second great result was that they may recognize your goodness. Verse 17, following, then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." Because of David's moral and loving response to his enemy was impressed with his goodness and his righteousness. And And he recognized that he's in the presence of a greater man than himself. And hopefully you can win over your enemy when they see your love, when they see your goodness, when they see your righteousness. You know, over the hundreds of years, as Christians have been persecuted for their faith, there have been many times where the persecutors have witnessed the grace and the love and the forgiveness of the persecuted believers in Jesus Christ. And a number of occasions where they have been won to Christ because of how they've witnessed the superior behavior of believers. And may we have the joy of seeing that in our own life. Romans 12:20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. The coals of fire can refer to burning conviction, being ashamed of how they have mistreated wonderful people, Christian people. And oftentimes they get so convicted that they turn to Jesus Christ because of their goodness. And then verse 20, they may recognize God's presence in your life and God's purpose for your life. Saul said, and now I know indeed that you shall surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Up to this time, David has been the object of Saul's hatred. He did everything he could to keep him from being king. And now he makes the confession, you know, I see it now. You're going to be king. I see that God is with you. I see that God has a plan and purpose for your life. And I'm foolish to try to interfere with God's purpose for your life. And as we deal properly with our enemies, may they be able to see that God has a purpose for our lives, that God has a wonderful plan for our lives, and that they realize they should not be fighting God. And then finally, verse 22, the last result was that an enemy was turned away. It says in verse 22 that David swore to Saul, and Saul went home. Saul went home. He called off the fight. He called off the pursuit. David's behavior turned his heart, and he went back to Jerusalem. David had a reprieve from his enemy. We don't know how long, but hopefully for weeks, months, his enemy had been turned away. I tell you what, what a joy it is to respond to your enemies in such a way that you either win them to Christ or you at least calm the enmity and they stop being your enemy. And that's exactly what happened to David, at least for a time. Isn't it great to see God work? I tell you, we see God work in here. God in His providence placed Saul in that very place where he could have a lesson driven home to him that David means him no harm. And how God worked in David's life and made him such a noble person in dealing with his enemies and how he turned the wrath of Saul away at least for a season. Well, the same thing can happen in our lives as we deal with our enemies. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that though we will have enemies in our lives, You have instructed us as how to deal with our enemies. And I pray, Lord, that You'll help each of us to take the principles of chapter 24 to heart, that we will not pay evil for evil. We will not take vengeance in our own hands. We will repay good for evil. That we will always seek to be a positive witness for Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's anyone in our lives that we know is an enemy, Lord, help us to respond. as you would have us to, not the way we feel like, but what our conscience tells us to, what you tell us to, Lord. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to extend the invitation this morning if you're ready to be saved. God wants to be your friend and your Savior. The devil is your enemy. Turn from the devil. Turn your life over to the Lord and you'll be saved. If you're ready to be saved, we invite you to come forward during this invitation. And I'll lead you in a prayer to receive Christ or to rededicate your life to the Lord or to unite with this church family. Let's stand as we sing our hymn of response, hymn number 489. And I'll be waiting upon you as you come.